You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Restaurants are struggling right now, big time.
Yeah, it's definitely very bad. The National Restaurant Association predicts that in a three-month period, 5 to 7 million hospitality service workers, you know, cooks, dishwashers, servers will lose their jobs. A lot already have.
Caleb Pershin is a reporter for Eater. He's been covering the impacts of the pandemic on the restaurant industry. So I asked him, how's the industry doing right now?
Most places that suddenly can't pay rent are unable to keep paying their employees. Restaurants operate on, you know, a week-to-week, month-to-month revenue. And so every restaurant group has laid off its employees for the most part in, you know, the major cities that I've written about, in San Francisco, where I was Eater's editor for a while, and in New York City, where I'm based now. It's the right thing to do to get employees or now former employees onto unemployment insurance. But yeah, it's obviously really, really painful.
For many restaurants, the only option to bring in money right now is takeout and delivery. And that means relying on third-party delivery apps like Grubhub and DoorDash. So how is that going? That's today on the show. Plus, I talked to a high-end restaurant owner and app developer who's been forced to innovate in a realm he never thought he'd have to enter, the takeout world. I'm Arielle Dimross. This is Reset.
I mean, I try to maintain a certain degree of professional distance from the industry that I cover, but I'm really close to people who are in a lot of pain right now, and it sucks.
Caleb Pershin, so restaurants are relying on delivery and pickup right now, and many of them, if not most of them, are using these third-party delivery apps. So without taking the pandemic into account here, how does that typically work?
Yeah, so a lot of them are based on contracts. The restaurant operator will sign maybe different contracts with Grubhub and DoorDash, which owns Caviar now, and Uber Eats. And those will contain, you know, maybe a different percentage that the third-party delivery app will take per order. Some of those apps, too, don't have a contract with the restaurant in question, things like Postmates. And now you've started to see Grubhub and others take this approach, don't have a formal contract with all the restaurants on their platform. Instead, they just throw up a menu for the restaurant and have their courier go place the order on behalf of the customer, go pick it up at the restaurant as if they're a regular customer, and then deliver it with an added delivery fee.
And generally speaking, the cuts, that commission that these apps take, how big is that?
Like 15% on the lowest end to 30% on the highest end.
30% of every order. And that's not even talking about the delivery fee that the consumer pays that they will see in the app.
No, yeah. And then, you know, it would be nice to leave a tip for your delivery person, which a lot of people don't do.
Which you definitely should do, at least 20%.
Yes, I heartily agree. Especially now, like, oh my God, give more.
How do restaurants feel about how these third-party apps charge them for their services?
They are really upset about it. It's a huge complaint of theirs. Restaurant margins are so slim to begin with that this means to actually make money on delivery through third-party apps, they have to do tons of volume, which is exhausting. So yeah, they think these fees are way too high.
And are there other issues for restaurants that use delivery apps?
Yeah, definitely. If you have another service delivering your food, you do lose a bunch of control over the quality of how your food gets presented. And then maybe you get a crappy Yelp review because a third-party delivery service didn't do a great job getting it to the customer.
Okay, so if you lose a bunch of control and you get slapped with a 15 to 30% commission on top of all of that, why do restaurants use third-party delivery apps at all?
It's a good question. They can't totally get around it. It's really hard to have your own fleet of delivery people. It's easier to have a third-party app do it, and it's also just really hard to opt out.
Is pivoting to delivery and pickup exclusively, is that saving restaurants from closing?
I don't think so. And I don't think most restaurants think so. It's going to be a stopgap measure at best. Maybe 10 or 20% of the revenue that they used to get, they'll be able to get this way.
Okay, so if restaurants are trying to make a little bit of money with these third-party apps, these delivery apps, how is that going right now?
I think it's going okay. I think that restaurants would tell you that they wish delivery apps would waive more of the fees that they typically charge. Before all of this, these third-party delivery apps like Seamless and Grubhub were already somewhat unpopular with restaurants because they charge a lot in commission fees, you know, something between like 15 and even 30% just for being the source of an order and having someone deliver it. So yeah, the fact that they can't take the entire cut of the delivery order means that it isn't ideal for restaurants now more than ever. A program from Grubhub, they said that they would provide $100 million in relief, but rather than just waiving their commissions, they're just deferring them. So eventually restaurants will have to pay those back.
Do you think that this pandemic is exposing these issues with delivery apps just a little bit more than they were before? You know, do you think people are more aware of this?
Yeah, if anything, this pandemic lays bare the difficulty that delivery apps and restaurants were having with one another beforehand.
And so for people who are self-isolating and who want to support restaurants right now, what are the best options for consumers to do that?
If you want to go get takeout yourself and feel healthy and comfortable enough to do it, you know, it'd be best if you call the restaurant directly so that that large cut isn't taken by a third-party delivery app. Maybe they'll be able to deliver food themselves. Go straight to the restaurant in any way you can, either by calling them or by going to their website. And also, then, if you do use a third-party app to get a delivery, tip handsomely.
Caleb Pershin is a reporter for Eater. We reached out to Grubhub for comment about their new deferment policy that allows restaurants to pay their fees for delivery later. A spokesperson for the company said, quote, "Our marketing commission fee deferral initiative provided immediate and substantial cash flow relief to thousands of restaurants nationwide." After the break, a restaurateur in Chicago is keeping his business alive using his own takeout app. And he's helping others, too.
There's a small restaurant that emailed us and said, when we were busy before the pandemic, we would do $3,000 to $4,000 a day in sales. And I just hired three more cooks because we're doing $20,000 a day in sales.
This is Reset.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Nick Kokonas has a lot of cred in the restaurant industry. He's the co-owner of the Alinea Group in Chicago, which oversees four restaurants, including Chicago's only three Michelin-starred restaurant, which is also called Alinea. Pre-pandemic, that exclusive restaurant had a months-long wait list, and it was known for its 12 to 20-course meals that cost upwards of $250, and that's without alcohol. And now, well, it's doing takeout. I gave Nick a call and asked him about his takeout menu. I think you're doing coq au vin this week, right? So tell me, how does that work? I'm a customer. I want to get your coq au vin dish. What happens next?
Well, you're going to get a salad with that. You're going to get some 50-50 mashed potatoes. That's half butter, half potato, the way it should be. Nice and healthy.
Yes.
You're going to get the coq au vin sauce packaged separately. You're going to get dessert. I think it's a chocolate pâte de crème this week. And you're going to get a little instruction sheet saying, hey, here's how to do this the best way, and here's how to do it in a microwave. reheating the coq au vin is as simple as putting it in the oven. You're going to take the sauce, put it in a pan, add a couple tablespoons of water, get that to the right consistency, remove, pour over, plate it up. Same thing with the potatoes, a little bit of water in a pan, whipping them, putting it on the plate. Pretty simple.
So it's like mostly pre-cooked, and then there's a little bit of like finishing stuff that you do at home.
Yeah. We've made it as brain dead as possible. So it's going to taste great. Like, we're doing all the sauces, all of the vegetables, everything exactly the way we would do were we to serve it at Alinea. So you're talking about the demi-glace is like a three-day demi-glace. It takes, you know, we're boiling giant vats down and whatnot. So there are no shortcuts being taken. We're not suddenly using bouillon cubes or something like that, right?
Nick never would have considered doing something like this before the pandemic, but this was a matter of survival. So he had to make things simple.
Alinea, you know, we're doing three-hour, multi-course, very complicated meals. What we decided to do was make it approachable. The first 2 weeks, we did a short rib beef Wellington with Robuchon mashed potatoes and a salad, and it was $34. We had thousands of people on the wait list for it. And what people need to remember, like if you're listening to this in New York, this sounds like a terrible idea. Every other city, for better or worse, right now for better, we have cars, these things called cars.
Right.
So, you know, with Alinea, we have a 15-minute window where it's your pickup window and people are lining up in their cars. And when people arrive, they just text us. We know what car they're in. We go and get their food. We bring it out. People are wearing gloves. They have masks on. They pop the trunk and we put it in the trunk. It's completely contactless. And we put 350 cars through in 3 hours.
Wow. Okay.
And what the most important piece of this is, in addition to the fact that we brought back 60% of our staff already, we are putting a fund of the operating profits of this to pay our staff when we hire the rest back so that they will get back pay during the time that they were at home. We are bringing some joy to people.
That's important right now.
It's incredibly important, right? So like people are bringing out their china from when they were married, right? And they're putting their pictures on the web and they're like, hey, my first Alinea meal only cost $35. Now, of course, it's not really an Alinea meal, but it is delicious. We're doing an Easter feast for Easter brunch. And our other restaurants are doing that as well.
So Nick's restaurant is doing a whole new kind of takeout. And he's doing it without using a third-party delivery app. How is he pulling that off? He adapted an app he'd developed years ago to help high-end restaurants manage their table reservations.
Yeah, so I'm the co-founder of Tock, and it's an online booking system. Back in 2010, when we started building Next Restaurant, I became very frustrated with some of the limitations of OpenTable. I didn't know who my customers were, you know? Like, all the normal sort of business that you do, especially nowadays digitally, you know, you want to know your customer and you want to know their preferences so that you can serve them even better. So we started building all these tools for our own restaurant. And by 2014, I partnered with Brian Fitzpatrick and we started Tock.
So you had Tock, you've had it for a while now, and then all of a sudden this pandemic hits. And so you decide to pivot, right? You decide to suddenly turn Tock into sort of a takeout kind of service and no longer just a reservation service.
When we started building Tock to Go, we literally were like, our entire business is just like every restaurant. Our entire business at Tock is going to zero. There will be no reservations in the United States of America. What do we do? And then what we decided was we're going to build our own carryout software through Tock. And make it available to the industry. And we're going to do that at a flat 3% with no monthly fee.
So what do you mean by 3%?
So instead of charging 20%+ to the restaurant, we charge 3%. So if the sale's $100, we get $3. That's enough to keep our lights on. And now we are all the way back to processing over $1 million a day in carryout business for restaurants that do not typically do carryout.
So, Nick, how does this app work if I'm a restaurant that wants to use it?
The main difference between that and other platforms was, A, we weren't going to charge for, you know, 20% or more for the service. And B, we set up the inventory control on the back end of Tock, on the dashboard, in the way that a restaurant actually works for service. So instead of just saying like, hey, you know, 50 hamburgers got ordered and they're going to go out to some delivery person out the back door, we set it up so that the kitchen control how many people come per 15-minute window to pick up a meal. And that's the way kitchens operate with expediters for sit-down restaurants. And so because we had expertise with that, we set it up in a completely unique and different way. And that's what we wanted to do during this time. Like, we want to help be the bridge between this awful pandemic and the future of the industry.
Have lots of restaurants adopted this Tock to Go formula for your app?
Yeah, we've got over 300 restaurants that are live already. We have over 850 that are in the process of coming on board, really as fast as they can get their kitchens going again. And we have great success stories. It's not just the high-end places like Ennaka in, you know, selling bento boxes in Los Angeles and having a wait list of 3,000 people a day or something like that. But there's a small restaurant that emailed us and said, when we were busy before the pandemic, we would do $3,000 to $4,000 a day in sales. And I just hired three more cooks because we're doing $20,000 a day in sales.
Oh, wow.
I have hundreds of pages of emails of restaurants saying, this is saving us, in Berlin, in Australia. And I have to say, like, I mean, we've been working 20-hour days. It's never felt better in a weird way because we know that we're having an impact on re-employing people,
right,
feeding communities, all of that. It's work that we've been doing for years, but it feels important now.
Do you see Tock to Go as competing against other services like Caviar or DoorDash or Uber Eats?
Yeah, I think it's different and yes, competitive. But the real critical thing is that we're letting restaurants control their pickup and delivery, especially now. That's incredibly important, right? You want to know where your food came from. You want to know how it was handled. You want to, if you can get pickup, that's a great way to do it because, you know, it can be contactless, right? So that control and giving that control to the restaurant is important on a good day, I think, but it's really, really important right now.
Despite having Talk2Go up and running fairly early on, Nick still had to furlough most of his 300 restaurant employees. But he's hopeful that he can hire them back. So far, he's been able to rehire more than half of his 84 Alinea staff, thanks to this takeout scheme. And he's making 75% of what his restaurant used to make.
You know, I see a lot of people saying all the reasons why something can't be done, like the industry won't survive, or the industry won't have a bridge to the future, or it's a terrible business to begin with. And honestly, I every night I get a little bit more angry, because the thing that got us to where we are is creativity and a push and a drive to get up every day and work really hard and bring people that joy. And what we find is that people are responding to that doubly right now.
Nick Kokonis is the co-owner of the Alinea Group and the CEO of Talk. I'm Arielle Dimross, and this is Reset. Over the last few weeks, we've been documenting how people are adapting to the pandemic using technology. So I have a question for you all. What new piece of tech are you using right now to help you get through this pandemic? What new app or new device have you discovered because you're spending time at home? I want to know. Send me your recorded answers to reset@vox.com. That's it for today's show. We publish episodes 3 times a week, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. So if you haven't already, subscribe to the pod. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or in your favorite podcast app. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find the show. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Twitter. I'm @ADRS. You can also reach the Reset team by emailing reset@vox.com. We'll be back on Sunday. Later, nerds.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10, by visiting fundrise.com/Vox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.